O Lord, you are the God who is present. You are present in those who trust in you. You are present when we call upon your name, and you are present in your church. Teach us to be bold in our expectations, bold in our attempts to do good, and bold in talking about Christ. Bless our church with great unity, great power, great grace, and great community. And I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. How many bold things have you done in your life? I mean, bold moves. Some of the best things happened in my life happened because I made a bold move. Saw this good-looking girl one time. Made a bold move. Ask her out on a date. You never know. She said yes. 40-some years later... So long, neither of us can remember. 5 kids, 9 grandkids later, the bold move paid off. We're at this campus because this church made a bold move. We made a bold move. But there have also been times in my life when I didn't make the bold move. I missed an opportunity because I played it safe. I laid low. I hedged my bet. And the opportunity went right by me. Can you identify with that? Can you look at the times in your life when you made bold moves and they paid off? And the times you could have made a bold move but didn't, and you missed grand moments and grand opportunities in your life. We're studying through the book of Acts. And Acts is about bold moves. I read an article this week, and it's called 7 Things That Really Bold People Do. Does that sound interesting to you? 1, they acknowledge their flaws and strengths. Bold people say, I know I'm not very good on that, but I believe I can hit a home run here. Bold people have clear priorities. See, you can't be bold at everything. You can't make bold moves in everything in life. So you make bold moves where you have priorities. They speak up when they need to speak up. They try to take action where they have knowledge. They value the future. They make the most of small wins, and they maintain momentum. Good things happen when people are bold. And the book of Acts is about bold people. A couple of weeks ago, we learned that Peter and John went to the temple and they saw a man that had sat there for years, but they had never really paid attention to him. And they made a bold move. Somehow or another, Peter looked at this guy who had been lame for 40 years. And he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up." He took the guy's hand and lifted him up, and God did something that he only does when people have bold faith. Well, a big crowd came and Peter preached to them. And everything was going well. 5,000 people became Christians that day. Is that incredible? But then the cops showed up. I'm not kidding. Acts chapter 4, the temple cops show up and they slap the cuffs on Peter and John and march them off to jail. They spend the night in the cooler. The next morning, they bring him to trial. Acts chapter 4, verse 7. Here's the question the prosecutor asked them. By what power or by what name did you do this? You're under arrest. We don't like people healing people in our temple. We didn't give you a permit to do that. You didn't apply for, you didn't put an application to do that at our temple. Verses 10, 11, and 12. Peter said, I don't mind telling you at all by what authority I did this. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men where by which we must be saved. That's pretty bold. Let me remind you, the people who are trying Jesus here, they're the very people who crucified, the people who are trying Peter and John, they're the very people who crucified Jesus. A little intimidating, wouldn't you think? These people weren't horsing around. They had bad attitudes, and they knew how to make you pay. But in that moment, when they said to Peter, who gave you the authority to do this? We didn't. Peter said, I have an authority higher than your approval. I have the authority of Jesus Christ. And even though you rejected him, God made him the cornerstone of this great thing he's building in the world today. And because you have such a bad attitude, you ought to know there's no other name. There is no other name that will lead to your eternal salvation. That's a pretty bold move. Church, our authority today is the same. We are as bold and we are as empowered as we are related to Christ. You see, I think often we aren't as bold as we should be as Christians because our relationship to Christ is weak. Because it's easy to let day after day go by and never really touch him in a meaningful way. And as our relationship to Christ is weak, our boldness declines. What we think we can do declines. What makes sense to us to try declines. Because the authority of the church has never changed. The authority of the church is Christ. We have one authority. We look to one great source of inspiration, truth, and power, and his name is Jesus Christ. Let me ask you tonight, based on your relationship to Christ right now, what are you willing to try? What are you willing to try for no other reason other than you just believe in Jesus Christ? Are you willing to try being part of a ministry team, serve other people? Some of you come here Sunday after Sunday. You've come month after month. Some of you have come here for years. But somehow or another, your relationship to Christ has never been compelling enough for you to join a team and start serving people in the name of Jesus Christ. What are you willing to try because of your faith in Christ? Some of you ought to be leading life groups. It's a pretty safe deal. I've led life groups for years. Nothing's bad has ever happened in a life group. I've done thousands of them, and I can't remember anything bad ever happening in a life group. Now, leading the annual business meeting, that's probably not a job you want to do. Somebody's going to show up with their little attitude. It's never happened in a life group. It's a pretty safe deal. Life group leaders anywhere? It's pretty safe, huh? I mean, what's not to like? You hang around with some good people. Sometimes somebody brings donuts to my life group. Mikey, wherever he is, God bless him. Say a prayer for Mike. I mean, what are you willing to try to do? Are you willing to pray with a family member because you have faith in Christ? Are you willing to invite someone to church because you have faith in Christ? Are you willing to give an encouragement to somebody because you have faith in Christ? My faith in Christ shows itself in what I'm willing to attempt in life. Well, now, the trial's not going the way the prosecutor wanted it to. See, they had it in their head. They'll call these two guys in there. They're just hicks from Galilee. We'll intimidate them, and they'll back down. Well, Peter jumps up. He doesn't sit down, he jumps up. Peter says, I won't be intimidated. I believe in what I'm doing. Besides, how can you be unhappy that we did something good for a guy like this? So they said, okay, you guys go out of here for a minute. We got to talk. And so they march John and Peter out of the room. Then they look at each other. They said, what's up? Look how bold they are. These guys, verse 13, they're uneducated and common men. The Bible says they were astonished, but they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Hey, you know what? It shows in your life your relationship to Christ. It shows whether you know it or not. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your resume looks like. I don't care where you've been or where you haven't been. When you spend time with Christ, it shows in your life. And conversely, if you're not spending time in your life, there isn't going to be anything astonishingly spiritual about you. Do you get it? I wonder if you and I were tried by that group of religious leaders. What would they conclude about us? Is your relationship to Christ compelling enough to make you bold in a moment like that? Would there be something astonishing about the answers you gave? And would they recognize something of Christ in you that is rubbed off because you spent quality time with him? Verse 16. What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. You know what's implied there? Too bad so many people saw this because we'd just deny it. We'd say nothing happened. What are you talking about? Verse 18. What shall we do? So they called them and charge them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. I don't know why they translated this word charge. It's really just a common word for announce. They just said to them, okay, we're going to let you off this time, but stop talking about Jesus, would you? It's annoying. Verse 21. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them. They wanted to punish them, but how do you punish guys for doing something so nice for somebody? They menaced them. There was a threat in their tone and in their posture. You felt threatened. You've been in a moment where something in you said you should probably speak up for Christ here, and then you looked around at the people and said, oh, maybe not. Church, let's be honest, come on. We've all felt the threat, haven't we? We've all been there when we felt the tension. And here's what I'm asking for, that somehow or another we find a new grace in Christ that allows us to be bold even when we feel the tension. Church, I'm not saying obnoxious. I don't want you jumping up and screaming Bible verses at people. I don't want you to yell and argue with people about religion. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't want you to make it your personal mission to grind down your enemies with one more argument. That's not what I'm talking about. Because that's not what they did. They simply said, Christ matters to me. And he matters so much to me that he makes me a force for good in the world. And I'm sorry you don't understand that. Church, that's the kind of boldness I'm talking about. So now Peter and John have to respond to the judgment. They're setting up there where the judges are. Peter and John are standing down here what do you call the people who are on trial? The defendants, that's right, thank you. Haven't watched enough lawyer shows. The defendants are here, and now the defendants have to respond to the judgment. So Peter says, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. Peter's awesome. Peter says, all right, guess who we're going to listen to? You or God? Why is it better to listen to God than people? God made Peter and John, who had no credentials, wiser than the chief priests and the Pharisees, who had all the credentials. Do you get it? When they said you're uneducated and common men, that doesn't mean they were dumb. It means they didn't have the resume that the high priest had. He was an elitist. You're not one of us. But he was wiser than them. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when Peter is telling us who Jesus is in chapter 3, verse 14? It's wiser to listen to Christ than to man because Christ is the holiness of God. It's wiser to listen to Christ rather than man because Christ is the righteousness of God. It's wiser to listen to Christ rather than man because Christ is the author of life. I've had this conflict in my life where people have thrown scholars in my face. Oh, you really can't believe the Bible. This scholar says this, and this scholar says that. I've been there when people were trying to intimidate me with some scholar. Listen, if I have to pick between a scholar and Christ, I'm picking Christ every single time. And can I tell you why? Because Christ has treated me better than any teacher I have ever known. Christ has made me a better man than any teacher I've ever known. And teachers, God bless you. I'm glad you teach. But listen, brothers and sisters, we got to make up our mind who's the final authority in our lives. Some scholar who wrote a book to make his career, or the author of life. Church, we got to make up our mind who's the final authority in our life. Some idiot on the History Channel who's denying everything that 2,000 years of Christianity has taught, or Christ. Church, so they let them go. What are you going to do with them? They're not intimidated. You can't beat them up because everybody saw the miracle. They let them go. And Peter and John went back to their church. They went back to their life group. And everybody's saying, "What happened? What happened?" And Peter and John told them the story of what happened. Now listen. They turned to the Bible to explain the events of their life. If you look at Acts 4, 24, 25, and 26, they said, this is just like what the Bible says. Why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. They said, the Bible explains what's happening to us. And then they prayed. And then they prayed. And they prayed for three things. Grant us continued boldness. Dear God, we've been through a situation that could have easily intimidated us, so please keep working in us so that we're willing to say what we should say in the moment that we should say it. They prayed number two, continue to do amazing things around us. I want God to do amazing things in the church all the time, don't you? It validates our testimony. And then they said, please continue to honor the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good prayer meeting. Church? That would be good for every prayer group in this, for every life group in this church to pray. Dear God, help us to be bold. Please do amazing things in our church. And please continue to honor the name of Christ in our church. That's a pretty good prayer request, wouldn't you say? Hey, group leaders, that would be a good prayer for you to pray in your group. Hey, Dad, when you want to lead your family spiritually, that would be a good prayer for you to lead your family in. Dear God, help our family to be bold for what is right. Please do amazing things through our family. And please help our family to always honor Jesus Christ. That would be an awesome prayer for you to lead your family in. Church, all alone, all by yourself. It's an awesome prayer. Dear God, I pray that I could be bold when I need to be bold. I pray that you'd do amazing things in my life. And please, please, help me to honor Christ in this very short life. God answered their prayer. The place was shaken. The Holy Spirit filled them, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And then there's one last paragraph in this chapter. I want to do it real quickly. I want to make sure that we have plenty of time for the Lord's Supper. This event created a new normal in the church. You can see why. What would happen if next Sunday, Nancy, one of our elders, stands up and says, well, Doc won't be preaching today, he got arrested. Some of you go, I knew it! I knew it all along! And then she says, well, you probably want to know what he got arrested for. Well, he went down to the Cleveland Clinic, and there was somebody in a wheelchair, and he said, get up, took him by the hand. They jumped up, and they were dancing around in the foyer at the clinic. And a big crowd got together. And Doc stood up on a bench, and he started telling people about Jesus. And the security guards came, and they cuffed him and hauled him off. That's what happened, church. Except it was Peter and John, thank God. This thing that happened molded the church in a profound way. And four things came from it. I want you to see these. Verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. There was great unity. Listen, church, when we are bold for Christ and God is doing awesome things, it makes us a unified church. When our relationship to Christ goes weak and our boldness wanes, our unity frays. Do you get it? There was a new normal in the church. The church was more unified than it had ever been. And then verse 33. There was great power. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It means that when they talked about Christ, people sensed the presence of God and powerful things happened in human souls. The third thing, and great grace was upon them. There was this overwhelming impulse to treat people better than what they deserved. Finally, verses 34 and 35, and there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was great generosity. Church, look, when the Holy Spirit is working in our church the way he should, there's great unity. There's great unity. There have been times we have been a very unified church. There have been times that we have been a disunified church. When the Holy Spirit is working, we feel unified around this awesome thing that God has given us to do. When the Holy Spirit is working, powerful things are happening. When the Holy Spirit is working, there is a strong impulse in the church to treat people better than what they deserve. And listen, when the Holy Spirit is working, you want to be generous. I don't have to beg you for money. You want to be generous. Your heart compels you to be generous. Church, when the Holy Spirit is working, we are bold in our unity. We're bold with power, we're bold in grace, and we're bold in generosity. Goethe, one of the great German philosophers, said, boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. And I believe that's true. I believe it's absolutely true. When we get things right, when we're relating to Christ the way we should relate to him, there's a boldness in our lives. There's a power in our lives. There is a grace in our lives, and there's a generosity in our lives. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this chapter in the book of Acts, and I thank you that it has the power to make us a better church. I pray for myself and for everyone who's here tonight. I pray that you would graciously whisper to us. I pray that we could feel your presence and hear your call. I pray that we would have a boldness where we should be bold. I pray that we'd be empowered and awesome things would happen around us. I pray that we'd be gracious and treat people better than what they deserve. And oh, Father, I pray for a generosity that makes it possible for us to accomplish everything you're calling us to do. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on Christ Church, please check us out on the web at www.christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, please contact us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.